here we are, Beyond the Sermon, our next episode. Just to remind us why we have these conversations, Beyond the Sermon exists to have practical conversations that seek to apply God's word to all areas of life. And so we have another conversation today, and we have another special guest today.
Oh, we do.
And he is special. He's very special. Pastor KW, Carl Whittingstall's in
the
house.
Glad to be here today.
Good, man. Yeah. We are so glad that you're here. You're here for a reason. One, we like you.
Awesome.
Which is helpful.
That's good.
But you have, I think, a unique perspective that's going to be very helpful on these conversations, just with what you oversee. Maybe just take 10 seconds to explain your area of ministry and all you get to do at the church.
Yeah, I oversee the discipleship ministries here at the church, but specifically I've been involved in our student ministry since 2004. So I've watched...
I was 11.
You were 11. Just,
I wouldn't have been one of your youth.
You couldn't even come. You're too young. I had a full head of hair, for those of you watching online. You would have seen that back then. And so I've watched us go from no Facebook to all sorts of social media that we have in our world now. And how different families and students have chose to engage with all of those different things over the years. I've seen lots.
Yeah,
so
man.
That's, I think, why I'm here.
Can I just comment on 20 plus years of ministry here, faithfulness, longevity? I'm so thankful for that, man.
Thanks,
so
man.
Carl and I talked about the first time that we met, interviewing for the role, and to think all this time has passed now, it's pretty awesome, man. So I just praise the Lord for that. It's not normal.
Yeah.
We'll take it.
No.
So
love you,
good.
Man.
You too. Yeah.
I love you too.
Aw, we love you.
Yeah,
we love
you. Stop it. And anyways, you mentioned social media. That was intentional because that's the area of focus of this conversation. We are, we're going to put this conversation under the umbrella of wisdom and biblical worldview.
Yes.
And really that's what we're doing with all of these conversations. We're trying to help people think biblically about key things that they're facing with everyday life. And so social media, it's everywhere. It's all around us. It's kind of just like the electricity. We just don't even know that it's there and it's impacted everything. And so we're going to have maybe a little bit of some different opinions at the table, and that's okay. Robbie's here and he's going to have some strong opinions, which he's not going to hold back on.
I am the oldest and therefore the wisest,
absolutely.
Right? Is that how it goes? Gray hair and wisdom and all that. The Bible says it explicitly.
No hair, no wisdom? Is that what that is?
Maybe.
No comment. So
well said.
Here's what I want to do. I want to frame up the conversation. I want to, I'll start there, and then we're going to get to what the Bible has to say about some of these things. But social media, we're going to restrict ourselves to talking about social media. And so I want to define kind of what we mean by that. So by social media, we're talking about platforms that include, this is a definition from Jonathan Haidt, which I'm going to reference him quite a bit in this beginning part. But we mean platforms that include user profiles, user-generated content, networking, interactivity, and in most cases, algorithmically curated content. And if you don't know what that means, I'm talking about platforms like Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok, X. We're going to say this is the focus of what we mean by social media. And social media is one of those things where I don't know what percentage of people in our church would be on social media, but I think it's probably something like 90% or higher. I think so many people in our church are, and in this world, are engaged with social media. Here's some statistics that are gonna make your head spin a little bit. Again, Jonathan Haidt wrote an article called for the World Happiness Report, and talks about some statistics on social media. The average US teen now spends nearly 5 hours a day, 5 hours a day on social media.
Yikes.
A recent survey found that one quarter of 13 to 14 year olds in the US were on social media for 7 or more hours a day. 7 hours a day.
Yep.
He goes on to talk about, just to put the cards on the table, he does not have an optimistic view of what this is doing on society. He's not I don't think he's a believer, but he's just looking at the societal trends, the psychological impact and some of the physiological impact of social media. And so he says there's direct harms and indirect harms. The direct harms include exposing them to videos of graphic pornography, real life violence, facilitating cyberbullying, deepfakes, dangerous challenges, connecting them with sexual predators. That's not good. That's direct harm. But there's also indirect harm. And the indirect harm includes gradually making them more anxious or depressed, more prone to self-harm and eating disorders. And then just last thing he says, in sum, most of the recent high-quality longitudinal studies indicate that heavier social media use at one moment in time predicts later depression, especially for adolescent girls.
Wow.
So this is no joke. I think we're going to get into, that's a very gloomy picture of social media, which I don't think Robbie's going to protest.
I can't wait for you guys to put the positive spin on what you just read there. Yeah. I'm like, yeah.
So again, man, it doesn't even take an open Bible to see that, this topic, these things, social media has consequences.
It's a big deal.
It's a big deal.
Yeah.
It's
a big prominent deal. Issue.
Yeah.
7 hours a day. Lord help us.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Wow.
Uh-huh. My jaw kind of hit the ground when I read that. But here, like, this is a very broad question. What has been your guys's in pastoral ministry? How have you seen social media impact those around you? The pastoral cases, have we seen, you know, whether it's depression, anxiety, how has this manifested itself in your ministry? Carl, I'm assuming with decades of ministry and with young adults and teens, you've seen some of this stuff too. Why don't you, I'll just open-ended, whoever wants to go first.
Yeah, I think what I've observed over time, it's only increased over time as more platforms have come along. I think one of the arguments that's often used against all of those things that you just said, it's not worth just discrediting it. And in that is that that is the forum at which people are conversing now. And so we can't dismiss that that is the place that people are interacting. At the same time, now there's an obsession with the interaction. And so whether it's the student who, you know, I read a statistic recently that the average female takes a minimum of 25 pictures before she decides on the one she's going to post. And the average male, it's like less than 4. Yeah. We just know we're not that good looking. We're not looking for something, right? So there's an obsession, a narcissism obsession that's there, right from just like what you're putting out about yourself. And that's only increased depending on the platform. And then you get addictive nature on platforms that demand that you come back to it, or that you you and I were talking about this recently about on Snapchat, these things called Snap Streaks that students have with each other. And so
do you know what a snap streak is?
I don't.
So
I
didn't know either. So let's say we're on Snapchat and I snap him and say, hey, what's up? And he writes me back, hey, you know, not much. And then I don't respond. We've now started a streak. And so this is a thing that students, they care very much about, continuing that streak. Even if we're not talking, it's a perceived relationship in the fact that I just sent you an emoji, you sent me one back. And so kids will have these streaks that go for like 1300 days.
Oh my goodness.
And like, if you break a snap streak with someone that maybe I haven't even talked to Brandon in months, but he breaks that snap streak, that's a personal offense to me now because you didn't send me a picture or like, these are the things where now you've got into addictive nature and it's idolatry. On a platform that was meant, let's just assume it was meant to help people to interact. And so again, this is the forum in which people are interacting, but there's so many pitfalls within that now, you know, well, we decided we'd let our kid be on this so that they could talk with their friends. But there's all of these things that you didn't know, or maybe you knew, but you weren't sure of the dangers. And so again, we'll get into this stuff, but this is where parents have to be super intentional. They have to be thoughtful. You can't be passive. Yeah. My parents didn't know what the internet was, let alone know how to help me manage, you know, social media. So as a social media pioneer myself, I have to help these social media natives, because they're the ones who've grown up in the land of social media, learn how to live in it.
Wow.
I just want to double click on that, right? So I read that kind of gloomy summary of the use of social media. And what I hear you saying is that the immediate question is like, well, why do we even bother touching this at all? Why not just total abstinence from all social media? To which Robbie's probably like, amen. and the answer, though, what I'm hearing is because at some level, especially with young people, this is their primary means of communication. And so parents and even just individuals, teenagers listening too, they're thinking, okay, if I don't participate in that, there could be some ostracization and some like, I'm not going to be able to keep up with people. Like there's social consequences to not participating. Yep. And we don't want to pretend that that's not real. I would be deeply understanding that that's a reality. Have you seen that too in kind of your kids and people that you're
specifically through? Yes, social cost of not being up to speed with all the different social media apps that are being engaged. And as a parent, you know, and you're just kind of watching your kids and you can see how the importance of certain things, it's tricky. I'll just say what all of you have said so far. Obviously, social media is begging for biblical wisdom. Yeah. Like really is a wisdom issue. It is so important. I think one of the principles we need to say too is that when it comes to social media, it is not neutral. We have to understand that. Just like the Christian life, just like we're trying to grow in Christ, we're never sitting still or staying in one spot. We're always going forward or moving backwards. When we're engaging with social media, I just desperately want the people that we get to be, you know, in ministry with and lead and try to, you know, disciple, that we understand I am moving towards Christ or I'm moving away from Christ. And social media has a big impact on that, which also means that social media is a discipleship issue. Like no question, yeah. Irrefutable. So it requires significant discipleship. If we're going to say, and I get what you're saying and I don't disagree, for young people especially, I think young adults included, and it kind of, I think it decreases with age, but it still, it affects decades of, you know, age groups. As you are seeking to engage with these platforms or whatever, the more you can be self-aware and the more you can understand where your heart's at, that is going to help you so immensely. That is so entirely biblical. That is the book of Proverbs. That is James. That is the teaching of Jesus Christ, right? Right. Understanding where we're at, understanding when idols are starting to come in, admitting to ourselves when this is running my life, as opposed to the word of God or the Bible or even following Christ in the church, right? So that's immensely important to me. And I deeply, deeply desire that for all those who are listening and the church that we're a part of, my own family, and you guys, and beyond, right? Yeah. Just if we're going to do this, oh, let us be so filled with wisdom and understand what Christ would want for us in this process, which is what the podcast is seeking to do.
That's exactly right. And that's so good. So we're gonna jump into that and we're going to talk, just to frame it up so you guys can track with this, we're going to dive into what is this doing to our minds and our hearts? Because this has impact on us.
It does.
And then we're going to go, well, what does the Bible have to say about these things? And then we're going to wrap up with, like, let's get practical. Let's dive into the weeds. Good. Let's talk about individual platforms. Let's talk about kind of guidelines and best practices and all that stuff. So to go back, this is where we are right now. We agree. I think there's been no disagreement so far. Hey, that's great. I'm impressed already. Yeah. But what is this doing to our minds and our hearts? And I have lots of notes here to say, but I'll start with you, Carl. What are you seeing, some of these consequences in our minds and hearts?
Well, so let's start with the heart. So I think, again, it becomes like an idol factory for so many young people.
That's right.
And whatever the platforms, they all have different idols. So one, maybe it's Snapstreak, one, maybe it's likes, one, maybe it's comments, one, maybe it's how many people engaged with something that you did, or the fact that you needed to, the idol of being involved. And so you wanted to make sure that you saw that thing so that you could comment on it with other people. And so again, this is where, you know, I think Robbie, you said something before, but like where you're finding your identity. And if you're beginning to find your identity in anything other than Christ, but in the way that you're interacting with these things, well, you're setting yourself up for danger, like right away. So that would be the first thing I would say to the heart. I think the physical, because you asked a little bit about that, like there are some serious like things going on in your body based on your amount of screen use, but then specifically with social media. So in this book, Drowning in Screen Time, he talks about, which is a fantastic book, by the way, he talks about the same principles that casinos use to keep people at slot machines are almost the same things that social media are using to give you just enough of a win. But in social media, it's just enough of a dopamine hit. So it's just enough of a thrill. It's just enough of for your body to release something to cause you to come back for more. And then all of a sudden you've doom scrolled for like 2 hours. You know, it's this, you sat there and pulled the one-armed bandit and dropped quarters for 2 hours. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's pulling things out of you, but it's also doing stuff to your body metaphysically that's causing stress and anxiety. Your body's beginning to rely on dopamine for all sorts of things. I've heard students say, you know, like, I don't drink coffee, but in the morning, I just need to look at my phone for a few minutes, get a little dopamine to get me going in the day. Wow. It's like, That's real, like. Wow.
But I believe that, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess. By the way, you guys aren't helping me at all right now. Like, you're only reinforcing everything I've ever, like, I'm hearing these stats and I'm like appalled. I'm like, oh my goodness, it's worse than I thought. You know what I mean? So yeah, I can't believe it. Oh. My goodness.
Well, and again, this is where we have to be sympathetic though to the, sympathetic. I'm not saying we gotta jump all in.
Yeah.
But we have to be sympathetic to, this is the current cultural, you know, to say it's the current cultural Times Square. I didn't grow up in a Times Square where people would go to hang out, but this is the platform that people are interacting on. And so there is an ostracizing, there is a removing yourself from conversation that's going to happen if you're not on these things. Now, that's not to say that they're not super dangerous and they come with all sorts of unintended effects, or effects intended by others to addict us that we weren't aware of, that we need to be mindful of. And so whether you're a parent and you're trying to train your kids, or you're an adult and you're thinking, oh, well, you know, there's a new social media platform, I'm going to check it out. Oh, this is really fun. Well, be careful for all the things that you haven't seen or you haven't been made aware of, because they're out there and we need to be mindful of those.
Mm-hmm. Okay, really good. So, principle of wisdom: we become what we consume, right? We become what we worship. Mm-hmm. So again, I would desperately want everyone listening, young people, and then, you know, older as well, let's be aware that when you are spending 2-3 hours, whatever it is, and you are consuming yourself with such, for the most part, superficial, I mean, you guys are just saying all the stats in front of you, whatever, you know, just kind of mindless, whatever it is, without realizing it, you are becoming that, right? And so the Bible tells us that too. This is the essence of idolatry, right? Mm-hmm. We worship, again, when we worship idols, we become like them. Psalm 115 verse 8 says that. Mm-hmm. Literally, those who worship them, idols, become like them. Yeah. So that's what we have to be aware of, right? If we can squeeze the good out of these things, excellent. And if it can make us more wise and like Christ, excellent. But let us be honest when we are starting. And this is what sin is so deceitful and so insidious and deadly, because we don't really realize it's happening. Mm-hmm. And we're just, oh, it's not a big deal. I'm just here, whatever. And then little do we know, then a month, a week, or a week, a month, a year. And then all of a sudden we have no heart for anything of value or Christ, whatever it is. That's my fear of what's happening. I'm very sensitive to that myself. And I want more and more people to do that as well. So again, we become what we consume. Yeah. The second principle I would say in this question here too is, from what I can see, social media has a tremendous inclination towards amplifying the flesh. Okay. So like our society is in trouble. Okay. Like the amount of anger, the amount of bitterness, the amount of rage people will express, you know, through a social media app, but they never do it in person, you know, that kind of stuff. Right. So it's just amplified, or lust is a massive one. These algorithms set up, in part, or you guys help me understand this more, but I believe algorithms are set up to really induce sin as opposed to protect us from it. Yes. So they, again, as a parent, as a pastor, as a friend, I'm like, okay, one of the things I want to ask you guys too in this episode, you have to kind of convince me, how is there any good in this? Or like, let's just be devil's advocate for a second. Why would we recommend anyone ultimately go on social media for any kind of legitimate time, when I think in the end, everything you've told me, I'm just aghast at. Yeah. Right? So how is there any good in this at all? Why would we not, as pastors, say, just delete it all, get rid of it, don't go on it ever?
Do you want me to answer that question?
Well,
now?
Why not? We're not. We're here. We're here.
You go
why
first.
Yeah, it's good to say. Yeah.
I mean, let me start before I literally become the devil's advocate here. I will say, I think that there's so much wisdom required, and I'm not sure that I would advise anybody to just, hey, you should spend more time on social media. That is not the message I want you to hear. But here's how I think we think through some of these things. It's a missional opportunity, because it's where attention lives. Okay. So attention is there, whether we like it or not. And so we have two strategies here. One is we throw our hands up, put our heads in the sand, and say, well, we're not going to touch any of that, because we think the tools are objectively wrong. And there's all this bad stuff that, so we're only going to do whatever, like physical activity or we're not going to engage. I don't think that's necessarily the way to go. I think we have millions of people who are being discipled by their algorithm, and we have an opportunity to provide a better narrative, to provide a better story, and disciple them as much as we can to combat the noise, to combat the sinful tendencies. And we are seeing good things happen from that, but that doesn't change, and it doesn't make these platforms all of a sudden a positive thing, a net positive.
Okay.
I don't think they are a net positive.
Okay.
But let me just say a few examples. So our church, like we have an Instagram account. Yeah. We have something like 11.1 thousand followers. Mm. On that, we are consistently telling stories of how God is moving in our church.
Yes.
and posting testimonies and pastors breaking down and just giving a devotional thought on a Monday morning so that as people are scrolling on their way to their commute, they can have something redemptive in their algorithm that might change their minds and renew their minds and their hearts in Christ. And so I think there's a missional opportunity that exists online that I think some people should cautiously step into. Mm. Now, what I like about what I just said is that it's a church account. It's not necessarily a personal account, so I don't need to do the same thing. But I think the same logic can apply at an individual level, but I would want a lot of restrictions and cautions in doing so.
So that's really good. I like what you said. So essentially, we can either reject it entirely or seek to redeem it.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
That's right.
And so we're choosing to redeem it with wisdom and godliness. I like to say caution, right?
Yes.
Again, I'm a huge advocate of know when your heart is slipping. Right? That's back to another episode we did on watchfulness,
right?
Which is a huge principle here. Proverbs 4:23, watch your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. So this is what we're talking about. So I like that. Like whether like I know it or not, I'm actually on social media through our church often.
You are feeding the content machine.
Oh man. Yeah.
Here's one cool story though. Like this happened this past year. We had a young woman in our church who converted from Hindu faith to Christianity. She gets baptized and, you know, our team just kind of shortened up that story and put it on social media with her permission. And it's an amazing testimony of someone going from death to life.
Yeah, yeah.
216,000 views as of today.
Wow.
Of people who have seen that. And you're like, that kind of scale does not exist person to person. There's no way this woman would have had that opportunity to share her faith with 216,000 people.
Yeah, yeah.
But in the day that we live, that opportunity exists.
Okay.
And so do they, by the way, does that happen a lot? No, that is an exception at that kind of scale. But to see our technology used in that way for the glory of God, it kind of feels like we're kicking Satan in the butt a little bit when we see that happen, which I love.
Amen. So. That's good, man. That's good.
Okay. So, why would we let anyone go on it? It's horrible. There are some redeeming qualities. let me try and come with like
just to be clear, he didn't even like that I had digital books.
Okay. No, so. I know. Yeah. You use eBooks? How dare you? No. Okay. I would go back to the platform of conversation. So I think this is the piece where as a church, and so your question as a pastor, how would we talk to somebody about this? I think this is where discipleship just becomes such an important thing. And if they're going to go on it, regardless, because like your statistic, 90% outside the church, it's probably even more of the number of people who are on there. So how do we help people engage with the world that is social media? How do we help them, you know, build out algorithms that aren't going to be filled with inappropriate material? Because it's possible to address your algorithm in such ways, and it takes some discipline to do that. So part of it is just like helping people know that, and then helping people be thoughtful about these things so that they can be intentional about how they're living that out, right? And that goes for us too. Like we have to be super mindful of that. You know, anything that you like and approve of or you linger on for too long, the algorithm is always reading that. And so for people to know that and to begin to be more, it almost, and I'm not giving this as a plus, okay? So I don't want you to say that, it helps you to be almost more aware of the sin in front of your face quicker.
It's a mirror.
Yeah, because like, If I'm on a social media platform,
that's what the Bible's for, Carl.
I just use Instagram.
Keep going.
I'm sorry.
But if something comes up that I know is not pleasing to the Lord, whether it's, you know, inappropriate behavior or whatever it is, right? And you're like, oh, I'm going to just sit and check it out for a second and be like, oh, that's not appropriate, and swipe away or however you get rid of it. Like your algorithm's already read into that you were interested. That millisecond of your flesh, it's tracked that.
Wow.
So the quicker, you know, you can have in your mind that whatever I see, it's going to track. So you almost become more intentional, or at least you have the opportunity to. I don't think people do that in large part. Mm-hmm. And that's something that, you know, myself, some people that I'm close with who are on social media, it's something that we've actually talked about quite regularly, mm-hmm. in that you can manipulate your algorithm. You can, you know, you can do this with any kind of algorithm by what you view, approve of, like, mm-hmm. and whatever, what you visit. But you have to be intentional about it. Now, this is where, again, when it comes to kids especially, like, they don't got that kind of brain capacity. They don't get that kind of spiritual discernment. Right? And so as parents, and then even those of us who are in Christ, maybe if you're new in Christ, you don't have that kind of spiritual discernment built yet, or the even understanding that you need that. And so again, yeah, I would say with great caution, we need to be mm-hmm. very thoughtful about these things.
I just wanted to highlight one thing that you said earlier, and I think it's really important to note. So let's take Instagram, for example. There's so many, I don't know the demos exactly, but that would be one of the largest platforms that people are consistently using. Instagram shifted from their strategy where you used to be able to follow people and you could choose who you followed, and then that was the content that you were fed. And now, I forget the percentage, but like the stuff that it's feeding you is a fraction. It's like a small percentage of the things that you actually have chosen to follow. Instead, they're relying on you scrolling your feed. And this is what I think is most dangerous. They are dictating what you see based on your weakest moment, not your strongest moment. And really? I heard someone else say, oh yeah, I didn't come up with that. But when I heard them, I'm like, that's so wicked. Right. Because in my, in my wise moments, I can choose to follow good things, not bad things. But if I'm on this discovery page and in my weakest moment, I hesitate. Well, now the Instagram algorithm is, oh, he likes that. I'm going to give him more of that. And I'm like, well, then now we have to admit mm-hmm. we have surrendered control to somebody else to make the decisions for us. And it's based off of our weakness, not our strength. That's a trap. That's mm-hmm. a trap. And we have to at least know that that's happening. Because again, this is not a neutral tool.
Yeah.
There is something else going on, and it just requires wisdom to navigate.
And before we hate too much on Instagram, that's true on every mm-hmm. one of these social media platforms, whether right. it's Snapchat, whether it's TikTok, whether it's Facebook, they're all doing that exact same thing.
Which is really concerning. Like what you're describing.
It's so great.
It's evil. Yeah, like no, it Genesis is. 4, yeah. Sin is crouching at your door. Yeah. Yeah. Its desire is for you.
Yeah.
You must master it. I'm also thinking too, like where you're exposing yourselves. It's like the guy who struggles with pornography, but walks by the X-rated store every day and just, oh, I'm not going to look. You know what I mean? I'm like, well, at some point you're going to go in, bro. Like, so it's like, why would, so again, this is like, I'm a hard time. Why would I want to expose my flesh to temptation? Again, Carl, you're able to go, nope, whatever it is. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Just whatever. But I'm just like, wow. Like mm-hmm. at some point you're going to stop and linger, I think, because that's how the heart works. So I find it tough. You know what I mean? Like it's problematic, and it's really, again, it's damaging so many people. The common believer, you know, like the average disciple of Christ doesn't have, I think, the willpower capacity or, you know, level of godliness to continue to deny that all the time.
That's right.
So,
yeah.
And I don't mean to make it sound like I've never struggled either. Right. Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I had a conversation with a student this summer who they said, no, I know all that's there, but like they haven't even gone down the rabbit trail, but they know that it's dangerous. So there's an interesting, I would say, education happening mm-hmm. to young people, especially who they haven't had to be told about the dangers of it because mm-hmm. they know that they're there. And so this is where, you know, to use the terminology, the pioneer versus native, like we're pioneers into this world. Some of them, they're digital natives and they already mm-hmm. know that that's dangerous. Don't go near that. Mm-hmm. You know, for us pioneers, we're like, don't go over there. And they're like, mm-hmm. why would we? Like, mm-hmm. we already know that, which is, it's interesting to think about, like at all technological advances, similar conversations have had to happen, right? Whether it was with the television coming into people's houses, whether it was the internet coming mm-hmm. into people's houses, or now broadband, you know, Wi-Fi everywhere. Like at all of these, there's been grander opportunity mm-hmm. to sin and discernment needed. And for those of us who've had to live over those gaps, some people lived over lots of those gaps, but we've watched a lot. It's gone downhill.
It has. And it actually reminds me of the quote. I can't remember the guy who said it, but the guy, he said that today a guy could watch more pornography in 5 minutes than his grandfather could do in his entire lifetime.
Yep.
See, that's where technology has sped up so much, right? Right? And the speed of which the, you know, social media and everything, it's just, it's so much more than it ever has been. And the way it's trying to kind of run and own our minds, that's what's so concerning too. Can I have one more principle or just
please,
I just want to be able to make sure people understand too, is that social media, for the most part, or in large part, is encouraging us to construct an identity, right? As opposed to receive one from Jesus Christ. Okay, that's really well said. I didn't make that up, okay? So like, so good. In social media, be aware, if you are, Facebook, whatever it might be, Instagram, you are constructing an identity you want people to perceive, as opposed to receiving your identity from the Lord Jesus Christ. That right there is life-changing for bad or good, right? So as long as we're aware, like, young woman, young man, whatever it is, or whoever, whoever, when you are intentionally formulating a portfolio of your life that you want people to see, you know, how beautiful, whatever it is, admit to yourself, just admit what you're doing, right? Because that's half the victory right there.
That's right.
Right? As opposed to like Jesus Christ, you receive your identity. It's so powerful and beautiful if we can do that. So again, these are some things we just, as we're aware of it, it breaks the power. Satan doesn't want us to be aware of this at all.
Yeah.
He wants to be totally blind. We have no idea what's happening. Yeah. And so I say to my kids a lot too, right? If we're going to do this, and if your phones are going to become, you know, a big part, at least admit, eyes wide open to what you're doing. Let's not be surprised, right? Let's be aware of what it's trying to do with the algorithms, whatever it is, right? This podcast, I'm learning from you guys right now. I'm just like, can't believe it.
I don't think you're going to want to sign up for Instagram at the end of this one.
You know what?
We'll get to that.
What if you watch this podcast, what does that feed you towards?
Right.
What's the algorithm of this podcast feeding people towards? I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know either. I hope it's good.
I hope it's good too.
I wanted to highlight a couple of things, Rob, because as you're talking about this identity that you create, you know, one of the, in Jonathan Haidt's study, he's highlighting that one of the, here's some of the issues that flow from this. One, loneliness. Two, comparison. Three, anxiety and depression. These things are a natural consequence of spending too much time on social media. And I do think, I just want to say, I think proportion matters. Like if you're spending 5 hours a day looking at other people's lives, why are you surprised that you are feeling bad about yourself as you compare yourself to others? Like we were not made to do that.
Yep, correct.
We weren't made to do that.
Right.
And so, that is another trap that is, the rates especially too are so alarming for young women in particular. It seems to have more negative impact in anxiety and depression linked to social media. It is very, very present. And so I think what we want you to hear, young ladies in particular, but also young men, like if you are struggling with anxiety and depression, you should look at your social media consumption and go, am I exhibiting Christ-like wisdom in this area? Because if you modify some of your behaviors here and you replace them with godly alternatives, guess what's going to happen? You're going to see a better result in your life. 100% you will see. You will see improvement.
Yes.
If then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above.
That's right.
That's not good. The things of this earth.
That's good.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, let's do this. Let's go into some Bible stuff. So that is a fantastic verse, to seek the things that are above where Christ is seated in the heavenly places. What other verses come to mind as we have been talking about some of these things?
That's Colossians 3:1, by the way. Hebrews 10, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. What are you doing on there? Are you helping people to love and know Jesus more, or are you hindering them? Are you promoting yourself for self-worship, or are you promoting the Lord for his glory? You know, that's something that we need to think about. And there's a biblical principle there. You know, we often use that as a verse just in terms of like how we should get together and come to church. Like, let us consider, but if that's the forum that people are gathering in, well, we need to extend that verse to that forum as well.
Brandon, you mentioned 5 hours a day. So that's an issue of stewardship. Ephesians 5, look carefully how you walk, making the best use of the time, for the days are evil, right? So the person who's on social, I think I can say this categorically, if you're on social media 5 hours a day, that is exercising improper, unbiblical stewardship, right? Unless somehow you're evangelizing the whole world, right? And people coming to Christ, praise the Lord for that. But for the most part, probably not happening, right? To look carefully how you walk, and then redeeming the time God has entrusted to you and the stewardship that you have because the days are evil, right? So making sure. Another verse that comes to mind is the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus says, if your eye causes you to sin, cut it out. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. You're like, wow, that's so violent. I know Jesus said it, you know? It's not literal, but there's an absolute metaphorical lesson here that if we believe, this is where I come from. If social media is causing you to sin, become less like Jesus Christ, something has to change.
That's right.
Something.
That's right.
Right? You can't just keep going. And no wonder you'll have no affection for the Lord Jesus Christ too, right? Mm-hmm. So the other thing I would say too, and biblically speaking, if you're spending that much time on social media, what are you not doing?
That's right. Opportunity cost.
Yes.
Yep.
What are you not doing? Yep. Like again, like I would gather those that are easily spending, you know, the wake up again, we wake up in the morning and our first reaction is the phone and we're scrolling, whatever. Like, that's going to set a standard for your life. You know, getting the word open and letting God scroll through your brain, you know, like with his word. Romans 12:2.
Right.
Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may test and approve what is the will of God. Like it's so important and so beautiful.
Man, yes to all of those. You want to say something?
So if Twitter causes you to sin, delete the app.
I think
Agreed.
Yeah. If your eye causes you to sin, gadget out.
And later on, by the way, I want to talk about things I've done practically to limit exposure, but we're not there yet. But I
we're almost there though. We're almost there. Actually, I think we can jump right into there. Those Bible verses are exactly the ones I have in mind too. And you can add Psalm 101 verse 3, I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless.
Beautiful. Love that.
A lot of worthless stuff. A lot of worthless stuff that we consume.
One other one, Luke 11, your eye is the lamp of your body. Mm-hmm. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when it is bad, your body is full of darkness. So what are you letting in?
That's right.
What is it light or are you like accumulating darkness into yourself? That's right. That's a problem.
Interesting. The fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts the Lord is safe, obviously from Proverbs. Mm-hmm. And that's in the context of so much of social media. Again, I'm trying to keep putting it in kind of relative terms and stuff too, or just like classifying things. But so much of social media is seeking the approval of humans, right? And we're trying to seek the approval of man. We're not seeking the approval of God.
That's right.
And so we lessen the fear of the Lord, and the fear of the Lord leads to all blessing. And so we have the fear of man leads to a snare. And so that's another principle to be aware of too. And the Bible has a lot to say about that.
Amen. Amen. Let's get practical. Let's get practical. Let's start with this, being as personal as we want to be, how have we tried to navigate social media? Have you moved to total abstaining? How have you seen it kind of impact your own heart? You said you had some, I have examples that I can share, but you can maybe start.
Yeah. And I'm really glad to be vulnerable too. Like I think I went on Instagram a couple of years ago and I've never been on before and just kind of signed up, whatever, and just kind of see what it did. Like I, again, I'm sensitive to stuff. Okay. So I was on it probably for 3 minutes and just kind of seeing like what was going to be happening. And I'm like, yeah, no. Like I just like part of it was like practically I don't want to waste time. Yeah. The second thing was it's not going to send me stuff I think that'll help me at the end of the day. And so in that moment I'm like no like there's no way I can do this. Okay, mm-hmm. Now since then I technically have an Instagram account. Okay,
we found it here. We didn't know this. This is news.
Okay, well I technically do because why?
You don't follow me.
I don't.
Didn't like my posts either.
I follow Harley anyway. But however, why did I do that? I actually wanted to track the church.
Yeah.
You know, and since then, you know, some of my kids and that kind of stuff, be able to kind of see what's happening. But what I decided to do is that, so every now and then I go on Instagram, but I don't have it on my phone.
Yeah.
Okay. It's on my computer. The impact for me of having to go onto my computer, go onto Instagram, whatever, it is like 10 times for the benefit of me as opposed to the ease of my phone. Yeah. Some people are listening right now. This is your answer. Yeah. You can be like me and say, if it's on my phone, I'm just going to it's going to take too much. Even if you're looking at things that are okay, it's still too much time. Yeah. I don't want to waste my time. And then you have the opportunity to expose yourself to real sin stuff. For me, just having to log on, go on the computer, it is like, I probably use it again, 10%, even less. Mm-hmm. For me, that's helpful.
That's right.
I have access to it. I can redeem it if I want to.
Yep.
I can track and follow the church and a few other people, whatever it is. I've never had a post. Yeah. and it's, will that ever happen? I don't know, but it hasn't happened
yet.
Do
you hear that? Never had a post. So if you're like, I'm going to go search him to follow him, just don't. Just don't even bother him with that.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's what I've done. And I think for me, that's wisdom.
It's good, man.
And it's helping me to be able to have access and be able to contribute on some level, at least follow and see what the church is doing. But then I don't have to be exposed on a daily basis.
It's great. Yeah. You go next. Personally, how have you kind of navigated this?
Yeah. So I have accountability software on all the electronic devices in our house. So that goes for whether I'm holding it or whether my kids are holding it or whoever's holding it. There's software on there that's tracking that goes to different accountability partners. So that's just the first thing, which I recommend to anyone. Accountable to You is what we're using, and it's great. When it comes to actual social media use, I think if you're using a social media that is built on the premise of anonymity, where you can get away with things, that's a problem. And so you need to have people who can look into your life in that way. I'm not on any social media that allows for that to go on. But I know people and have family members who are on things that you do something and then it deletes or it disappears. And so there can be questionable activity in that. And so you have to operate with integrity and you have to have transparency and you have to know that nothing ever really deletes. So
you mean like Snapchat? Is that you're talking about?
Yeah. So that's deadly. One.
Set up for sin.
There are conversations you can do in other apps as well, right? So the second thing I would say is the thing that I've tried to do is have nothing that I can't show people. So if my wife picks up my phone and opens my Instagram account, there's nothing that would show up in my algorithm that I would not want her to see. Mm. Now she might be like, oh, you know, I'm not impressed with these feats of strength or it's for me, it's like athletes and something. She's like, I don't care about this stuff, but there's nothing.
Another snowboarding clip.
That's right. Another video of someone falling down. Yeah. You're sick, Carl. No, but there's like, she might not appreciate it in the same way, but there's nothing there that I would be like embarrassed, ashamed for her or, any of my kids to scroll through or any of the people who I'm close in my D group or accountability. Like I just, and that's a piece that your algorithm,
wonderful freedom, bro,
builds your accountability. Mm-hmm. Because if I were to linger on something, well, how long is it going to take for that to go out of the algorithm, right? And so there's an intentionality that I've had to work on. And so when I've had young people ask me, should I get this? Or, in my own house, can I get this? This is the conversation that I go to. It's like, well, are you ready for all of this? Mm. Right. And so I'm just going to say this preface too, before you're like, oh, I'm going to try and follow Pastor Carl on Instagram or whatever. I'm not going to let you. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing is that what I post there is for a select group of close people in my life, many of whom I'm not proximately close to. And so I'm even guarded with that, who I allow to influence and see what's going on in my life. And
you probably didn't start that way though, right?
No, it didn't start that way, but it got to a point where I said, and I removed people who were following me. And some of them were offended. They were just like, I see you all the time and you just kicked me off. And I was like, yeah, okay. But at that point in my life and marriage, like our kids were little. And I was like, the whole world doesn't need to see this. Like it's become Instagram for me. And I know this will sound strange to you, Robbie, but it is our family photo album. And so I don't let people just look at all of our family photos. Mm. And I am also pretty guarded then on who I would allow to follow me.
I appreciate that.
So,
I'll share a little bit about kind of some of my journey. I don't really post anything. I have a running joke that like, I'm happy to generally repost something if like I'm tagged, but I don't spend any time generating things to post. And I would say that's intentional. I think early on, again, I was in university when Instagram came out. Like I remember I was in university when Snapchat came out.
Young.
They were
so young.
Yeah. Yeah. I am. Yeah. But I remember posting it. And and feeling something of like in my heart wanting something that I didn't think was healthy. At some social validation, I want the likes, and then falling into some of the traps of comparison, where I would say I'm looking back. This is a while ago before the algorithm had really changed, but I'm looking at my friends' lives and I'm feeling worse about myself.
Wow. Yeah.
And I'm like, well, okay. Well, why don't I just not do that? You know.
Right.
For me, praise God, it wasn't that hard to kind of walk away from that. But I'm human enough to admit that happened in my heart. And by the way, would probably still happen in my heart if I was consistently engaging in that way. And so I don't want to posture myself in some like fake position of strength here. Like, yes, my heart is prone to the same comparison that can injure my soul.
Well, you and everyone else,
you mean everyone else,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, this is part of the problem, right?
Good for you. And I couldn't discern motive clearly enough when I'm like, if I was trying to post something, I was like, I don't know. Why am I posting this? Why am I posting this?
Right.
And so I ran out of good answers to that question for myself.
And so I
don't really post anything. If anything, the media that I consume would be more like longer form content on YouTube, which I would kind of almost treat it in a different category of social media. I'm not engaging with people. So anyways, that's kind of how I've navigated some of that with my journey. Can we shift to practical advice for people? I mean, some of our stories are practical advice,
but I think we can even
keep going.
A principle that can be practical too, and you guys can just add into this real quick too, is I think recognizing that when we're in social media, one of the dangers is it can make things that are sinful feel normal.
Wow.
So our hearts become calloused.
Yeah.
We're laughing at sin. We are enjoying sin. The whole world's doing it. So again, the more that we're aware that when sin becomes normal, we're in trouble, right?
Yes.
So what you just said, like your example, like same thing for me, like just knowing the heart and knowing where it's probably going to take me. Like, again, I'm unconvinced that I want to say this with gentleness, but again, narcissism is so embedded in many social media platforms. I don't know how you get around that. Like, I think not posting is one of the solutions, right? Because I mean, again, for people to check their hearts and be like, well, you can say all the right things, but yeah, underneath what's really going on there?
That's right.
I want attention. I want likes. I want people to think I'm amazing. Again, we have to be honest with ourselves. It's a heart issue, right? So then practically saying, if I can't do that without my heart going down this, then I have to make changes, I think, before the Lord, because the Holy Spirit's going to be grieved and we're going to quench him and we have no power and we're not going to know his blessing in our life. So that's what terrifies me.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a very, very good thing to say. I remember in one of my D groups, we'll be talking about our D group a little bit, but because this stuff comes up. But one of the things we had an extensive conversation was how our humor, like we had to confess and repent of some of the things that we were engaging in that were funny, that were like, oh, this is just not becoming of young men of God. Mm-hmm. And like, that's, again, we're getting desensitized to things.
Right.
And it's exactly what you said. It's like, it's everywhere. Everyone's laughing at it. It's like, yeah, but I shouldn't be, you know, I shouldn't be.
That should grieve me.
That should grieve me.
Yes.
Yeah. And so, yeah, man, that's real. That's real. Yeah.
If Jesus was sitting, I know it's silly, but sometimes like, you know, Jill and I are watching a movie or a show, whatever, just in the past couple of days, watching a show. It was like a murder mystery, but there's a part in it, it's very dark and very, and Jill and I are like, I just feel good about this.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm just like, nah, either do I. Off. You know what I mean? And that's our decision. Others would have no issue. Oh, by the way, we're going to go to the cultural stuff later on, I guess, in a different episode, but just entertainment. But again, there's a lot of people calling themselves Christians and they are watching flat out inappropriate garbage people. Yeah. Like, let's get our act together before the Lord. Like, if Jesus was standing beside you, he would be so grieved. You know what I mean? So anyway, that's going to be another episode.
That's a trailer for our next episode. So,
that's important.
Yeah. For real though.
Sorry about that.
Parents.
Yeah.
Parents. I'm going to rely on you, Carl, or Robbie. You guys have both navigated teenage children and how can you be wise in how you parent your children navigating social media?
I have eight things. So
go quickly.
Okay. But that'll do.
Okay. That's great.
Okay. So the first one is parents have full access to all devices and accounts. Like I constantly tell my kids, like, I bought you that phone and I'm paying for that phone and I can do whatever I want with that phone. Mm-hmm. And you'll give it to me whenever I ask you. And if your kid says no, that's a parenting issue there. And I've had conversations with parents who are like, I can't get my kids' phone from them. And I'm like, okay, well, we have something we need to work on before that. Mm-hmm. So that'd be the first thing that I would say is parents must have full access to all accounts. If your student, if your kid has been posting things that are questionable or inappropriate, you need to be following them. So as much as you might not want to be on the platform, you need to be engaging with the platform to see what they're doing. And maybe you need to get to a point where they can't post things without your approval. So there was a dad a number of years ago whose daughter was struggling with this. And we talked and him and his daughter came to a place where she said she would only post pictures of herself that dad had approved. Mm. Great. That's wise. That's good parenting right there. So, I don't know how I've lost track of the number that I'm on here,
number three,
controlling access to devices. Mm-hmm. So every device that my kids have access to in our house, they all have like time limits on how long you can be on them. They have time limits on apps. There's all sorts of stuff like that. Cause we just need to be disciplined. Like you've said, our flesh will just go off into it. Mm-hmm. And so we have to be wise about that. And again, parents can do that. In our house, we're Apple users. So I know some people out there, you love, you know, the green bubble. We use blue bubbles in our house. And so, but within Apple, they actually have some great parent features for parents who oversee their kids' accounts to be able to manage these things, even from afar. Yep. And so we found that to be really helpful for us. Know what your kids are doing online. Parents have to have conversations with their kids. There are too many parents who assume that their kids are making good choices online and they've never had conversations with their kids about what they should do. I remember years ago, there's a counselor here in our church and she had a conversation with her kid where she said, hey, you're watching that TV show. I need you to turn that off. We don't watch that. And the kid was like, why? And she said, because we don't watch that in this house. And he was like, well, I do. And she stopped in her tracks and she was like, I haven't helped him to know why that's not helpful or that's wrong. And so she had to go back and say, all right, I know what you're doing and we have to educate you on this so that you'll make wise choices. There are apps that help parents that are out there. There's all sorts of different ones. Accountable to You is fantastic. You can label different devices. You can have one account and different devices labeled to different people. Teen contracts. This is something that's real. We have these in our house. And so if you want to have a phone, you've signed a contract. And I made all my kids sign in triplicate. And so they have a copy, I have a copy, and then I've hidden a copy somewhere in our house in case they decide to destroy those copies. And like, there are other things that we put in those contracts because this is a huge deal that they're being entrusted with this. But then the last one I would say, and I forget if I said too many or too few, but would be model right behavior. Because there are a lot of parents who are expecting things of their kids that they're not doing themselves. And that's a problem. Man. And so, you know, your kids only allowed a certain number of minutes a day, but then they watched you while they were at their, you know, basketball practice, sit on the sideline and scroll your phone for an hour and a half while they, you know, ran wind sprints or whatever. Maybe you should have read a book. Or maybe you should have watched your kid and cheered them on, or, you know, but I think there's an opportunity for modeling right behavior. This is something that I'm struggling with and trying to do for my kids. But I think parents in general, we need to make this a priority too.
That's excellent.
Give instruction and model right behavior.
We should probably make that list available. I think
that would be helpful. Yeah, we can do that. We can definitely.
Has that been written
down
previously?
I'll make a better list available.
So, yeah. Anyways, I think it'd be helpful. I think it's probably overwhelming for some parents, but what good instruction and wisdom to say, hey, start somewhere and do that. Mm. I don't want to add much to what Carl said at all. I just think for us, especially with, well, all our kids, but our girls especially, how long can you prolong them from, you know, being off social media? Yeah. All the stats, like the books, I'm aware of the podcast, the devastation that occurs grade 6, 7, 8 for girls. It's so conclusive. I'm like, it's so discouraging, right? And they just like, they can't handle it. And there's probably, you know, they're 14, 15, 16, it's still devastating. But anyways, the longer you can, you know, postpone that and not allow them to be, but whatever. Anyway, so, and then all the rules that Carl just said too, or the principles of wisdom are just so good too. And of course, conversations, relationship, talking about this. Many parents can't have the ability to talk, but have these conversations. Even the stuff we're talking about today in our podcast, these principles, again, whether my kids want to hear me say it, but I'm just, I love them too much not to.
That's right.
Right?
That's
right? Just talking about the reality, what's happening. Also, for me, it's heart, right? Yeah. So heart be towards the Lord and not towards the world or whatever. And so it's difficult at times, but it needs to be done.
So can I just say this? Maybe you're not sure you could have this conversation with your kids. They can watch this podcast. Yeah. We'll say these things. We've said these things, right? Yeah. And we say things in love because we want to help.
Yes.
And we know you might have been struggling for a season and not be in a place of success to speak to your kids. And they'll be like, you're a hypocrite. And you can say, no, I'm struggling with this too. We're going at this together. We're going to watch this, you know, when there's some things we're going to take from this. So
I thought it was interesting, Jonathan Haidt, to circle back to him. He has kind of three prescriptions. When he's talking about the social media epidemic, he says, one, don't let your kid have a smartphone till high school.
Okay.
Two, don't let your kids have social media till they're 16. And then three, he advocates for no phones at school. So schools to have a no phones policy. I just thought that was interesting. Like you're not, again, this
hard
is
hard to argue with.
It's hard to argue with.
Hard to do, but hard to argue with.
For sure. I want to shift to the personal, which some of the parent, we'll just wrap up quickly with this. But if you're not a parent, you're a person, you're just listening, a young adult, whatever. Here's some advice that I have, and then you guys can jump in. One of the things I do with my D groups, when I notice things maybe are getting a little out of hand, we do social media fasts. Just start. We're going to do, hey, no social media for a month, or start with a week. Goodness gracious. Start with 1 week, no
really
social
good.
Media.
Really good.
And watch how much better you feel. It's crazy. They come back. Man, that was great. It's
isn't that so sad?
So why are we downloading it again? You know? But social media fasts.
Really
number two, accountability. You need accountability on your devices. Mm. You need people in relationship asking you the hard questions. Three, screen time limits and reports. So you can set limits. You don't have to be a parent to do this. Set a screen limit on your devices that say, hey, I'm not gonna even be allowed to touch social media till after lunch or something like that. And only for 30 minutes, an hour a day, whatever you want to do. These things are all very practical, but they reflect the biblical principles that we're saying we need to make the best use of the time because the days are evil.
Yes.
Any other practical things you want to say to people?
The only thing, I know we got to finish here, it's been good, but just Proverbs 4 verse 7, the beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom.
Yeah.
So amen. I'm hoping those who are here listening, you want to be wise in the Lord. Well, the beginning of those who are wise, they get wisdom. There's a lot of wisdom being shared today. And if you value wisdom, then you value Jesus. Mm-hmm. And when you value Jesus, your life is going to be going in a blessing of favor. Yeah. If you move away from Jesus and you want foolishness, I can't help you there, right? Love Jesus, love wisdom, and you will love life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I don't think we have anything else we can add to that. Carl, thank you much for joining us.
Yeah, you're great, bro.
And stay tuned for our next conversation around kind of the wisdom in the media that we consume. So stay tuned.